Okay, we are back to our morning assignment, the Sunday school, where we look into the Word of God, especially looking at the New Testament portion of the scriptures that spoke so much about our salvation, spoke so much about our future, spoke so much about our being with Christ in the millennium. And dividing the New Testament like we've started, we've seen a single man who wrote 14 out of the 27 books of the New Testament. And we decided to study some of those episodes Apostle Paul has written to the churches, which our future movement is also embedded in. And the Lord will bless us as we proceed now in the name of Jesus. We started about 8 weeks ago looking at Pauline episode. We deliberately started by evaluating the life of Apostle Paul when he was an unbeliever from the context of being a Christian, how he went about persecuting the church. We looked on how the Lord converted him, he became a Christian, and we saw his movement immediately he became a Christian, his approach to the Word of God, and how he started living his life, moving from one place to the other, preaching the gospel of this kingdom, to a point after 17 years of his conversion, that the Lord ministered to his heart, you are now matured to put down things for the generations to come. So after 17 years of Paul's conversion or journey as a Christian, he wrote the first book of his episodes, and we see him moving forward, wrote second book, wrote third book, and all these things accumulated to become 14 books that he wrote. So we are looking at those books and those journeys that will help us as individuals also to live a good Christian life here. So last week we actually dwelt in the church of Ephesus. The church of Ephesus, where we saw Paul visited there during his second missionary journey. Because he was about going to Jerusalem, he didn't stay much in Ephesus. He went back to his base. Now, he promised them of coming back again, of which he did in the start of his third missionary journey. So, like we saw last week, Paul enjoyed his stay in Ephesus, where God actually was supporting his ministry with signs and wonders. And again, we've actually looked at the geographical globe of the world, citing Ephesus to be in our present-day Turkey. So we are not speaking of abstracts. We are talking of things that actually happened in our physical planet. Citing that where Ephesus was then, Apostle Paul lived there preaching the gospel of Christ for almost 3 years. He preached the gospel of Christ for almost 3 years. And because of the effect the gospel was having in Ephesus, the unbeliever, before they normally attack him, the people that normally attack his gospel is the Jews. The Jews always attack his gospel, always make him to leave one city to another city. But in the case of Ephesus, we see the Gentiles themselves were the one who rose up against Paul, and led by Demetrius. And that was how Paul went hiding, because they advised him, the leadership of Ephesus, government officials, they advised him because his sermon has actually gotten root in Ephesus. They advised him, please, don't go to the theater where your boys has been arrested. If not, these people, they are going to kill you. Paul hearkened to their advice, stayed until the government officials were able to bring the uproar in Ephesus to rest. So immediately they brought it to rest. Paul, continuing his ministry again, will bring two problems. The officials of that very city wouldn't want the second opera to come up, because certainly If Paul continue in Ephesus, he will continue preaching the gospel of Christ, and that will make the second uproar to start. So the officials must have advised him. At the end of that uproar, Paul left Ephesus. So that was where we ended last week, when Paul left Ephesus. So by the grace of God this week, we are going to continue his third missionary journey. When he left Ephesus, what happened to the rest of his third missionary journeys? What are the activities that happened around in the Christendom? By now, Paul started with Barnabas. But now, Paul has grown in popularity. Paul has grown in leadership. By now, Paul has raised leaders. He has raised leaders all over the churches. So the Paul you used to know, by this time now we are talking about, Paul is in the ministry for around 30 years. So Paul has raised leaders, he has raised churches, people that could stand for him anywhere he is now. If he's going now, he's going with entourage. To the extent that before Paul visits any city, Paul now sends envoy to that city to prepare his coming. Praise Master Jesus. It has grown to that. But when he started, it wasn't so. When he started, he was going alone. Now, before he moves into a city now, he sent people to prepare the churches. Apostle Paul the Elder is coming. They put their house together, put the church together to receive him. Wow, what a powerful ministry. Put your hands together for Apostle Paul. So, we are starting today to look at his leaving Ephesus and what happened to his life and the activities that happened around the Christendom. Okay, let us have the slide. I think today should be part 8. Yesterday we treated part 9. Last week we treated part 7. This will be part 8. Okay, our outline here, I say Paul continued his third missionary journey. Now he's leaving Ephesus, and like we argued last week, he was so comfortable in Ephesus because his ministry was very easy. Before he says, in the name of Jesus, things will start happening. People were giving their life to Christ. Miracles were happening under his ministry. So he loved what he was doing, but God himself may have also shaked the necks. Apostle Paul, you are becoming too comfortable in Ephesus. Let me allow the devil to raise his agent to chase you away from Ephesus. Yes, that may be also possible from another interpretation. So we look at Paul in Troas. Look at Paul in Macedonia the second time. You see, Corinthians, like we see Paul in Corinth the third time. So when you study in the scriptures, and a Bible is portraying Paul in certain setting, you can now from this knowledge know if it was the first journey Paul came to this city that you are reading, or the second time he came you are reading, or the third time he came you are reading. When you have this proper knowledge of how Paul visited all these churches, it will position you in a better understanding and appreciation of Christianity. It will position you in a better understanding and appreciation of Christianity. So if you are reading Paul's third visit and you are understanding it as his first visit, you will have a different understanding from what that context is saying. But when you follow it line by line to understand, yes, this statement was made in his third visit, the Holy Spirit will now bring together the things you've read about his first and second visit. The Holy Spirit will bring it together. Praise Master Jesus. Yeah, the sound is too much. The volume is too much. Reduce the volume. Amen. So, we will look at Paul. Paul initiated a collection for the Jerusalem brethren. We will look again why the offering for the Jerusalem church was collected. We will look again. Paul wrote the book of Romans from Corinth. You see, these activities will help you understanding the Bible. So Paul wrote the book of Romans from Corinth. Who planted the church in Rome? You see, there are churches Paul wrote to. There are letters that Paul wrote. Paul wasn't the one that planted the church. Praise Master Jesus. The church in Rome, Paul wasn't the one who planted the church, but he wrote to them. And if you don't understand the Bible, because the book of Romans is carrying the name of Paul, you will think that Paul actually was the one who planted the church. The church of Colossians, Paul was not the one who planted the church of Colossians, but he wrote to them. So when we get to these things, we will evaluate the letters Paul wrote to those churches that he didn't plant with the letters he wrote to the churches he planted. You will see that the churches Paul didn't plant, when he writes to them, he writes to the rudiment even down to baptism. Like if you take example in the book of Colossians, you will see Paul emphasizing to them, maybe the planter of the church of Colossians have not educated them the importance of Christ. And Paul emphasized there, whatever you do, in words or in deed, do it in the name of Jesus. Now, Paul has settled water baptism because he wouldn't know if the preacher that planted the church emphasized the doctrine of water baptism. But the churches that he went on his own personally, he took time to emphasize it. That is why he will say, let us go to maturity, living elementary things, water baptism, because he physically have taught it in the local churches. But the church he didn't plant, you see him going back to the rudiments, telling them about water baptism, telling them about the foundation of Christianity, because he wouldn't know if the man who planted the church took time to explain those things to them. So when we get there, we'll bring them out to actually see similarities and differences because of this purpose that I have just explained. Praise Master Jesus. Now, we move forward. I say the purpose of writing the book of Romans. We'll look at it as the Lord helps us. Let's have the next slide. Okay. Now, Paul continued his missionary journey. Leaving Ephesus, like we've explained, he went to Troas. We'll see what happened in Troas. Then he left Troas and he came to Macedonia. And I say Macedonia is a part of our present-day Greece. So the region of Macedonia Paul had visited in his first place was Philippines, Thessalonica, and Berean. So when the Bible says he left to Macedonia, so these are possible places he went to in Macedonia. When he left Macedonia, he now went to Corinth. And from Corinth, he wanted to go back home to Syria. But from Corinth, he got an intelligence that the Jews were waiting for him to kill him on his way back to his home church. So he immediately diverted and went back through Macedonia, went back to Troas, where he was coming from. Because the enemies, they got a wind, he will pass through this way to Syria. So they waited for him to kill him. So when he got the intelligence, he changed his route and went back through the place he was coming from. So from there, he went to Miletus, where he met with the elders of Ephesian church. Remember, he left Ephesian church, Ephesian region. He can't go back there because he's coming again, we bring uproar. So when he got to Miletus, he sent for the leaders. Please ask them to come. You know, I can't come into this country. When these people see me now, another problem will start, and the officials of the land will not be happy. So he spoke with them in Miletus, and he went to Caesarea. He went to Jerusalem. He was arrested by the Jews in Jerusalem. They took him. When he got plot wind that they want to kill him, the officials took him back to Caesarea. There the Jews also plotted to kill him. That was where Paul now appealed to Caesar, that he appealed to Caesar. So when that is done, the local jurisdiction lacks the jurisdiction to handle his matter because he has appealed to a higher authority. So what they will do now is to send him to where he've appealed. He said, you don't have the power. This assembly, this court doesn't have the jurisdiction to try me. I want the court of Caesar to try me. So that was how Paul was extradited to Rome. So we look at the things that happened there as we move forward, and the Lord will bless us in the name of Jesus. Let us go to the next slide. Paul in Troas. Now you understand that Paul left Ephesians with a broken heart. A broken heart that the mission he was doing there has been halted. He couldn't continue with the preaching. And not only that, while he was in Ephesus, he already sent Timothy and Erastus. He has sent them to Macedonia to prepare about his coming, because he had mind he would be visiting them there. He has sent Timothy and Erastus there. Now, again, he has sent Titus to Corinth to settle the dispute there. We studied that about 3 weeks, 2 weeks ago. He sent Titus there to settle the dispute there. Now he was left alone with few people. He expected Titus to have returned to Ephesus before he could take his next move. Now, looking at this, I say Paul left Ephesus to Troas with burdens in his heart, which brought about this statement. So this statement in the scripture, let us see that statement, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, though it's there in the scriptures, you can open your own and look at it. Let's look at this scripture very well. 2 Corinthians, am I correct? 2 Corinthians, go back there. Okay, 2 Corinthians 7 verse 5. 7 verse 5, let's take it. I think that should be typo error. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 5. Hallelujah. So that is typo. He said, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. So I want to bring up the reason why this statement was made. Go back now to the slide. He said, for when we were coming to Macedonia, Paul is now telling the Corinthian church that when he left Ephesus. Now, last week, we saw the trouble he had in Ephesus. Last week, we saw how the worshippers of Diana came up against him and they wanted to kill him, arrested some of their officials. And at the end, he was advised by the officials for him to leave. Now, he was leaving because of the trouble, the fighting from without. Now, the fighting from without is the fight that was led by Dramatus and other of the Jews that were fighting him from outside. Now, he said, within were fears. While he was living, he had the fear of not knowing what had become of Titus in Corinth. He doesn't know if they've killed Titus. He doesn't know if they've imprisoned Titus. He doesn't know the condition of Titus. And again, the fears from other churches he planted that the enemies have invaded, Paul have not known the position of those churches. So that is actually what brought out this statement that we see in the scripture. Somebody say hallelujah. He said, for when we were coming to Macedonia from Troas, remember, he left from Troas and he came to Macedonia. So when he got to Troas, he was expecting to see Titus there. But when he didn't see Titus in Troas, remember the scripture said that a door was opened for him in Troas to preach the gospel. A beautiful door. The hearts of the people were prepared to receive the gospel of the Lord. But because of this fear within, because of this pain in the heart of Paul, he couldn't preach. And that is why your pastors, if you trouble them too much, they wouldn't preach from the spirit, because their countenance is already troubled. So when you see your pastors They already have their own family problems. They already have their own economical problem. They've already have their own. The problems you are passing through as a man is what the pastor is also passing through as a man. So you double his problem by bringing your own problem and put it on his own. So what you need to do is to encourage your pastors. You encourage them, because when you begin to disturb them, it affects their ministry. That is what happened to Paul. The anointed Paul, a door was opened for Paul because of the troubles within. He couldn't minister. Hallelujah. Now, he said, without we are fighting, I said it already, that is the fight, Demetrius led riot in Ephesus, and again, the plot of the Jews to kill him. Now, that were the fights outside he was talking about. Now, the second one, the fears within. I said the fear of not seeing Titus, whom he sent to settle the dispute in the Corinthian church, and not knowing if he is still alive. So these are the fears within. The fears also in the churches he have planted. Remember, before this time, he have written the book of 1 Corinthians. He's written the book of 1 Thessalonians. He's written the book of 2 Thessalonians. By this time, he's written the book of Galatians. And in our study, we saw what brought about the writings of those books. It was trouble within. So these are the fears Paul had that made him brought out this statement. Now, if you have a perfect understanding why this statement was made, you appreciate Christianity. You walk in line with the rudiments and the writings of the scripture. You understand perfectly why this statement was made, why this one was, then you become a resourceful Christian. Praise Master Jesus. So, let's have the next slide. The next slide. I believe we've written this down. Now, continuing, the fear of not knowing what has become of the Corinthian church and other churches he've planted. That was the fear, the concern he had for all those churches. Paul was perplexed. Paul was disturbed. And again, I say, Paul's statement over Titus' continuous delay in Corinth. Now, we are bringing up another statement he made now. He said, furthermore, in all this trouble, when he went to Troas, he didn't see Titus, and he moved to Macedonia. But let's see how God comforted him now. In all this trouble, he said, furthermore, that should be 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 12 and 13. You can write it down, but because it's here in the scriptures, in the screen, let's use here. He said, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, what I said before, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. Now, you see the reason for the fears within now, what I just explained. This, where his concern, he doesn't know if they've killed Titus. He doesn't know if Titus is in prison. He doesn't know, you know, these Corinthian people. So, that was the trouble he had. So, he left this open door. So, I move on. I said, and Paul continued, I went from thence. Now he left this open doors in Troas. Now thence is meaning he left Troas, the open door, into Macedonia. Now he left there and he came into Macedonia. Now I said that Paul ignored the open door in Troas because of these heavy pains in his heart. You could see Paul also was actually a human being that has the same feeling we have today. Let's go to the next slide. But God comforted Paul in Macedonia by the coming of Titus from Corinth. Let's read that. 2 Corinthians 7, 5 and 6. Let's read that. 2 Corinthians 7, 5 and 6. Let's read that. Very, very important. Now that we've seen his pain. Okay, I read from here. He said, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without we were fightings, and within were fears. Verse 6. He said, nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. So when Paul came into Macedonia, still confused with so many pains and so and heaviness of heart, and he looked front there, he looked there, he saw a young man walking by. He saw a young man walking by, and this young man looked like Titus. So boy, you know, Paul by this time he's already getting aged. He put on his glass. He said, "That is Titus." Titus raised up his hand. "You are alive. You are alive." That was how they came. He embraced Titus. They fell to the ground. "Oh boy, you are alive. I hope this body didn't beat you." "Ah, Titus, my man. Hey, my brother." He became comforted by the coming of Titus. Immediately, his system was now re-energized. He's now stable to preach the gospel. Somebody shout hallelujah. So God comforted him by the coming of Titus to meet him in Macedonia. He was refreshed. And now Titus began to explain to him, Daddy, what actually kept me in Corinthians was when I came. The people had already repented. The people were longing for you. In fact, the love they were showing me, I didn't want to come back, but I knew you would be troubled. That is why I say, let me wait. Let them wait. Let me go. Why you will know this? When Paul proposed for another visit to Corinth, Titus raised his hand. He said, "Send me. Daddy, send me. Corinth, I want to go again. Send me." That was how Paul, we will see it. That was how Paul sent him back. Paul said that when they suggested who will go to Corinth to deliver message, Titus on his own accord said, "Oga, I am here, send me." So which means he enjoyed the fellowship he had with them when he went to settle their dispute. Praise Master Jesus. So Titus now began to intimate Paul with the activities of the Corinthian church. They have repented. The letter you sent to them, they are weeping. They say, "Oh, we have offended our father, Apostle Paul. We are going back to him. Please, can you ask him to visit us again? We want to see him." So I said, Titus explains to Paul how remorseful they were over the trouble they brought to the Corinthian church and to Paul himself. They were remorseful. I said again, Paul was also comforted hearing from Titus that the church in Corinth had repented and desired to see him. Praise Master Jesus. There is a statement Paul made here which I will want us to look at. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 7. Hallelujah. Verse 7. He said, "Not by the coming alone, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind towards me, so that I rejoiced the more." Go to verse 9. He said, "Now I rejoice not that you were made sorrow, but that you sorrowed to repentance." You will see the word that godly sorrow that bringeth repentance was coined out of this experience. Godly sorrow that leaded to repentance was actually the position and experience of the Corinthian church. The sorrow they had over the things they've done actually gave repentance that they were enjoying. When you go down 10, so that of our time, you will see that statement that was made. Hallelujah. Let's have the next slide. Okay, that slide. I say, before leaving Ephesus, Paul had already sent Timothy and Erastus to Macedonia. So that is where you can see that in the scriptures. Let's read that in the book of Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Okay, 21. He said, "After these things were ended, Paul proposed in his spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem." You see, I was saying now Paul's ministry has grown to the level that when he wants to go to any city, he first of all sends envoy to level the ground. Before it wasn't so. So when whatever we are doing now, we are starting. A time will come, if God will, that I will continue preaching the gospel. When I buy my bulletproof, don't say, "I see this pastor, he's using bulletproof." No, I don't need it, because nobody is after my life. Tomorrow people may be after my life that we saw the place of Paul. Paul now sent envoys to put security in place as he's coming, because his life now is on threat. People want to kill him. So you see, before the president goes anywhere, weeks or 2 weeks before then, he has sent envoy to put security, bomb details and bullet details in order to protect his coming. The ministry of Paul has grown to that level that when he's going to a city now, he sends men to go and beef up security and intelligence to signal him of the things that is to come. That was how he had the signal when he was about to return to Antioch. He got the signal. Intelligence told him that the Jews are laying wait to kill you on this way. So if he had not sent those signals, Paul would have died and you and I will not be enjoying what we are enjoying from his being alive. Somebody say amen. So when Paul proposed that he will be visiting Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem on his way, saying, after I have been there, I must also visit Rome, next city, next place. 22. So he sent into Macedonia two that ministered unto him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed by in Asia for a season. Praise Master Jesus. That was why how he sent them. Praise the Lord. So go back to the slide. So prepare the way for him. Go back to the slide. I said before he left, he sent Timothy and Erastus to Macedonia. We've read. So he, Timothy and others reunited in Macedonia. Now he's in Macedonia, which means Timothy and others, they've gone ahead. So when he came to Macedonia, they all reunited. Let's see the next slide. The next slide. Now, by that explanation, that means that Timothy, Titus, remember, when he was in Ephesus, he sent Titus to Corinth. So by our explanation, that means Timothy, Titus, and Erastus, they didn't witness the Dramatius-led riot in Ephesus. They didn't witness it. So it will be Paul now in Macedonia telling them, oh boy, when you people left, these people wanted to kill me, or the riot not be here. They all carried play card. They went to Lekki. They say, Paul must go. And Paul. It's not joke. Even Aristoxos and Gaius, the beating they gave Gaius. In fact, it was God that helped Zion. They say, you don't mean it. So Paul explained all these experiences to them. Praise Master Jesus. I said, Paul visited the churches he planted in the region of Macedonia during his second missionary journey to encourage them. Now, we saw his second missionary journey was when he planted the churches of Macedonia, the church in Philippine, the church in Thessalonica, and the church in Berean. It was during his second missionary journey. Now, he's come the second time now to visit them. You can read that because of our time in that very place. So I say, by this time, he had already written 1st and 2nd Thessalonica. The book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonica had already been written. But the book of Philippians we have now, by this time, it has not been written. Because the church of Philippians, they didn't have any peculiar problem as of those days. Because you know, the reason why he was writing those letters was because of peculiar problems. Now, to the next slide. Paul in Macedonia again. I said, during this second visit to Philippines, the book of Philippians has not been written. The book of Philippians we have today, by this time it has not been written. I said, by the good news from Titus, Paul wrote the book of 2 Corinthians from Macedonia, and promised the Corinthian church his third visit to them. He now promised them his third visit, that he's coming. He wrote that second book of Corinthians from Macedonia. And we understand that he wrote the first book of Corinthians from where? From Ephesus. Hallelujah. Let me have the next slide. No, now Paul moved from Macedonia to Corinth on his third visit to Corinthian church. Now, Titus has already made the way. Titus has already told him that the people, they are expecting you. Titus already told him how remorseful they are. Titus has already told him that the church has already repented. Now, in Macedonia, Paul sent Titus back to Corinth. I told us the reason why he started doing all these things. To send, we saw where he sent Timothy and others to Macedonia. Now, he's now in Macedonia. He's now sending Titus and other people to Corinth from what? To beef up security and other purposes. To prepare their heart for his coming, like I've explained. Secondly, to gather their offering for the collection of Jerusalem brethren. For the collection of Jerusalem brethren. Every church sent in their Jerusalem offering with a delegate to Paul. Now, in his ministry, Paul was now asking the church, the churches he planted, Paul was now encouraging them to raise funds for the Jerusalem brethren that were passing through trouble. It was not, it's not the type of churches we have today where it's mandatory tithe and offering should be sent to headquarters. That is not Apostle Paul's ministry. Paul never did that. Paul, when he asked them for money, he is asking them to meet a need. Now, we are saying, why the offering for the Jerusalem church? Why was Paul asking the churches he planted to raise offering for the Jerusalem church? We've come to understand that the Christian in Jerusalem were suffering from poverty and from famine. When you listen to our listening, we saw the famine that came during the reign of Emperor Claudius. So they were still passing through this famine. And don't forget, the church in Jerusalem was not planted by Apostle Paul. It was not planted by Apostle Paul. So what he's doing is born out of love for Christianity. The churches he himself he planted, he's taxing them to raise money to send to another church he didn't plant. Is it happening in our days? You can't see it. Another church he didn't plant that was headed by Peter and the rest. He's now asking money to send to them to help alleviate their poverty. And we see the brethren, the missionaries, they did search to Africa. But our greedy preachers, when you look history, hijacked it and they were converting all those things to their own personal use. And that was how those things were cut off and some of them limited. Praise Master Jesus. I said, okay, let's read that in the book of Romans 15. Let's see that explanation. Romans 15, 25 to 27. He was giving the people of Roman his itineraries, how his movement is going to be. Romans 15, 25. He says, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Now Paul is in Macedonia now, giving the people in Rome his itineraries, how he's going to move. He said, 26, for it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia. Now, them of Macedonia are the churches in Macedonia and the church in Corinthians to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. For the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. So that was what the collection was for. For the poor saints which were at Jerusalem because they were passing through famine. Praise Master Jesus. Now, there is a statement. Let us take this statement here, 27. It had pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles had been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. We will explain what Paul was saying as we move forward. Let's have the slide. Now, I said, according to Paul, where we just read, look at the terminology there. Since the Gentiles have been made partakers of their now is the Jews. If you are looking at your scriptures with what I've put in there, if the Gentiles have been made partakers of the Jews' spiritual things, salvation was for the Jews before. Hallelujah. Now, since the Gentiles has been drafted in to become a member of the commonwealth of Israel, now it will not be a big thing too if the Jews can benefit from the word of the Gentiles. That is what Paul was actually saying there. He said the Jews' spiritual things, their Gentiles now duty, the duty of the Gentiles is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Praise Master Jesus. Vice versa. You give me yam, I give you oil. You eat from my yam, I eat from your oil. Praise Master Jesus. So balance now. Let's go to the next slide. I say Paul suggested to the believers to set aside a certain amount every week for this purpose so that they won't be gathering when he comes. Now the collection, Paul didn't just come and begin to tell the people this. He pre-informed the people. He pre-informed them, please, we know the country is very hard. Every week, every believer should set aside some certain amount every week, be keeping it with the church every week, that when I come, they will gather all this fund they've kept for every week, and they will give it to us, we will send it to the brethren in Corinth. Hallelujah. I say, Paul not giving occasion for the first brethren to think the collection was for his personal use, he suggested all churches should appoint their delegates to join him to Jerusalem. Ha! What a transparent ministry. I beg, put your hands to the ministry of Apostle Paul. Let's read that as I explain it. Let's read that in 1 Corinthians 6:16. You can see transparency in the ministry of Paul. 1 Corinthians 16. First Corinthians 16, can you give us 3 and 4? I've not seen it here. Okay. Now Paul is speaking. He said, and when I come, okay, start from verse 1. Let's get the picture of what I just explained. He said, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatians. He told the churches of Galatians already. We saw when he wrote to the people of Romans, he told them that Macedonia and Achaia, they are also bringing their contribution. He said, as I have given to the churches of Galatia, even so do you also. Now, this is 1 Corinthians now. He's talking to the church of Corinthians, and he's doing the collection in 2 Corinthians. He said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has proposed, prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Verse 3. He said, and when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Don't remove it there. Okay, let me read this and explain verse 3. Now, he said, and if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. So, the first intention of Paul was not to carry the money to the Jerusalem church. His first intention was contribute the money. Send your delegates. I will send a letter to them. Let them carry their own money to Jerusalem and say this is the contribution from the churches Apostle Paul has planned to help the church. But he said, if need be, if you people feel I should go with them, but they must go with me. Praise Master Jesus. Tell me the denominational churches that have financial transparency like this. Tell me today. Nowhere. Paul was very careful because two of the greater things and three in extension that can kill a man of God very easily is money, women, and pride. When you are careful over these two, three things, you are 80% above your problem. And Paul was very careful in these things. And because not to give occasion, like I said, for those people that will say, he's collecting all this money to put in his pocket, he made it very transparent for them to see what he was doing. Praise Master Jesus. I said, Paul's intention was to send the delegates with the money to Jerusalem by themselves, like we've read. He said, he will only join them to Jerusalem if need be. I said, this shows the level of financial transparency in Paul's ministry. Praise Master Jesus. There are churches today, tight, have big boss here with a very golden padlock. The key of the tight boss is with the pastor and his wife. If pastor travels, he hands over the key to the wife. If the wife travels, their children are still growing up. They don't trust their children so much. They travel with the key and place camera to the tight boss until they come back. They place camera on the tight boss. Any person that passes there, the camera will catch you until they come back before they open it. But in this ministry, it's not so. The tithe and offering goes to the account department. It's only figure, the way they count it, the way the pastor doesn't know. It's only figure they bring to the pastor. This is what we collected. Admin, what need does the church have? From that tithe and offering, they begin to meet the need of the church immediately. The tithe and offering doesn't go to any of the pastor's pockets. Abel, put your hands together for Pastor Moses. This is the church of the firstborn. And he always make it bold. You are free to come. Every month the church prepares their account balance. You are free to go in there to see the income, the inflow and outflow of the ministry. Which church can stand and make that boast before their congregation? Who pastor can stand and make that boast before their congregation? Nowhere. That shows the level of financial transparency in this local assembly. Abel, that's for our pastor again. It's the apostolic footstep. I've just explained Paul's intention. I said Paul delivered the collection to the church in Jerusalem. He didn't. Problem came on the way. He said, God will understand. That money they contribute, I beg. More tell solve this problem, or make we not go die here. Mbao. The money Paul delivered it to the place it was meant for. And the people of Jerusalem received it. Please let us see that very important in the book of Acts 21. Let's read verse 17 and 18 because it's important that then we go to 24, chapter 24. He said, and when we were come to Jerusalem, now after the whole saga, by this time now Paul was already in Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. Now, the church of Jerusalem welcomed them. They gave them presidential welcome. They gave them keys and the rest. They welcomed them so very good. And the following day, Paul went in unto James and all the elders were present. Go to chapter 24, verse 17. 17, right? 24 verse 17. Chapter 24 verse 17. Acts 24 17. Now, after many years, Paul was explaining now when he was arrested, the time he, what happened and the rest, but take this statement. He said, now after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offering. So this was during the end now of his third missionary journey when he was arrested. He was actually explaining to them what brought him to Jerusalem. And he knew this. In the letter to the Romans, he begged the Romans, he said, please, as I'm going to Jerusalem, there are Jews, there are Judea brethren, they want to kill me. I've gotten the signal. Intelligence have told me that they are laying in wait for me, Judea Christian. Please, my brethren in Rome, please pray for me. But I have to go there to deliver this arm to my people. So Paul actually knew by intelligence, they signaled him that there are people in wait to kill you. But the work of God moved forward. But when he came, he was actually arrested by these people. That we see when we go further. When you understand the puzzles of the scriptures and bring them together, Christianity becomes more meaningful to every individual. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next slide. As I round up. Let us come home. Let us come home. The bride assembly diesel contribution. Do you think the church is in need? We are in Nigeria. We've seen how dollar moved from the past 6-7 years from 150, 250 per dollar to to almost 1,000 naira per dollar. And because of this, the church was in need. And the pastor came and said, the church we are in need, we need the brethren to help out in this need. Now what I'm asking, how many sister churches feeding from the Bride Assembly Church are participating in our monthly diesel contribution? How many sister churches all over the world? As we are talking now, some churches are glued. All their service is supporting. And when we are out of diesel, these brokers will go off. You are benefiting spiritually. Paul told the Gentiles, what stop you now from bringing your carnal things to support the carnal things the ministry is doing in order to project the spiritual things that is needed by you? And I ask, what of the churches planted, the churches Bride Assembly church here, the churches they planted 100%, they equipped the church, they paid for the rent, they paid for the instruments, they even placed the pastors on allowance for years. My question is, by the Bride Assembly, how many of them are contributing to this diesel contribution? Is this the type of Christianity Apostle Paul was preaching? How many of them are supporting the diesel contribution of this church? The pastor didn't say it's every day. He said monthly. Let's make this for 1 year and see what happens if our expectation in leadership happens. When there is change in the leadership, if the dollar will go down, let's mount ourselves for 1 year and begin to help in the diesel of the church. How many churches that are feeding from this ministry are supporting it? And again, to individuals. How many individuals who are feeding spiritually from the church are participating in this diesel contribution? Ask yourself, was this the church Apostle Paul planted? Pastor didn't make it for millions. He said at least 20,000. At least 20,000 once in a month. There are people giving 50,000, 100,000, 50,000, but at least 20,000 in a month in order to help the diesel. In this church, we spent over 10 point something million, 2.5 times 4 is 10 point something million, only diesel alone. Only diesel alone, 10 point something million every month. And in order to help out in this area, like Paul initiated a collection for the Jerusalem church, the pastor initiated this and make it minimal for everybody. The last slide. I say, if we feed from the church spiritual things, it's not a big thing too that you should send your carnal things to support what the church is doing. Praise Master Jesus. There are certainly those who are doing this every month. We started that about August. There are people that are committed. Please put your hands together for yourselves. There are people that are committed to it. Everyone, they set in their destiny. And some say, I don't have the strength to be a monthly partner. But whenever the Lord blesses me, I will just send. Then those who are monthly partner that are bound that every month we will be doing it, we have a transparent WhatsApp we'll get to it. I say, if you are feeding from the church spiritual things, it's not a big thing too that you should send your carnal things to support what the church is doing here. I say, for those who have vowed to be doing it monthly for 1 year, we have a WhatsApp group where we publish transparency. Everything that was collected by this group every month, we tabulate it and we post it for the perusal of all the members in that group. I beg, put your hands together for the leadership of the church again. So everyone that is contributing at the end of the month will publish the total figure that was collected for the diesel this month. Everybody will see it. You will see your name. You will see your contribution. I say the church annual Thanksgiving is 2 weeks from now. Maybe you may not have known that Paul also did collection for the purpose that the church has. Now, opportunity is there for you and I now to begin to prepare. The church annual Thanksgiving is 2 weeks from now. This should be an encouragement for many to participate and also join the diesel contribution. It's very important.
These two things prepare your heart. This diesel contribution prepare your heart. And the Lord will definitely meet us at the points of our own respective needs in the name of Jesus. Let me have the last slide. Finally, Paul in Corinth. Paul spent 3 months in Corinth to achieve these things we've talked about, to finally lay to rest the fears within in the Corinthian church. That was laid. The Corinthian church became a perfect church. To collect their own donation for the Jerusalem church that was passing through hardship. And in Corinth, Paul wrote the book of Romans to the believers in Rome. Last slide. And next week, by the grace of God, we'll look at the books of Romans. Put your hands together for the Lord. Okay, please permit me to just take one question in regards to what we've just learned. One question. Don't ask me a very difficult one. You have a difficult one, take it to the Lord's General tomorrow. God bless you, sister. Okay, we have another sister's hand there.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Sir, please, I want to ask, when you said, according to the scripture, when Paul was looking for Titus, he was afraid about the delay of his coming back. So, during those times, were there no seers like prophet or prophetess? Maybe let him go and begin to check the reason, at least to lessen his fears than what is happening in our time now. Maybe if it's during our time, we may go to check on what is going on.
Praise Master Jesus. I understand what you're saying. The fear, actually, as a man, he needed Titus to be by himself to tell him. The primary fear was the condition of the church. As Christians, we must also learn to live by faith. It's not when headache is worrying you, you go and disturb a seer. When your stomach, you are going to toilet 3 times in a day, you are going to meet a seer. That is not the purpose it's meant for. Praise Master Jesus. Paul knew he needed to walk by faith. He knew that these are physical situations, and Paul himself was a seer himself. Paul was also, he has a gift of prophecy. And don't forget, Paul, the statement we explained, he knew already by the gift of prophecy and by confirmations that the Jews in Jerusalem are waiting for him and by intelligence, but he decided to go. So Paul lived by faith. He said, we walk by faith and not by sight. Paul was living by faith. So when physical things comes, it troubles him, and by faith he pushed them aside and continued the work he, the Lord, has called him to do. God bless you. I have another hand there.
Shalom, Bride of Christ.
God bless you.
My question is this. According to fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4:11, says some he gave apostle, pastor, evangelist, teacher, and prophet. So my question is, I don't know the difference between apostle and pastor.
Hallelujah. That is not part of what we've taught today, but just to buttress your question. Apostle, let me explain it with these five hands. Brother Abraham says that the natural things teaches us spiritual things. So let's look at this that we've seen. The apostle is this finger, and the apostle is the only one that can touch these other fingers. So the apostolic office that was given was actually the foundation laying that affected all other offices the Lord has given. So the apostles, they are still living. This, if you are asking for the apostles, here is the apostolic ministry. So the pastors, the prophets, we are all, because the office of the apostle is this, it touches this. So because it touches this, all other offices, they are touching from the foundation of the apostles. God bless you, man. Okay, we thank God for today. By next week, we will continue the book of Romans. Let's be on our feet to return all glory
unto our Creator. It's a beautiful Sunday morning that the Lord has given us another